Hopefully everybody knows by now I like to ask rhetorical questions, especially in my homily. So we'll start with one of those today. Let us ask ourselves the following. What's my heart's truest need? I'm talking about need here, not desire or want. What is my heart's truest need? Hopefully I'll know that our truest need of our heart is our Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or to put it another way, God created us with a God-sized hole in our heart, and only He can fill it. We see this many times in the Bible. In the Bible, God speaks to the people in the desert. In the silence of the desert, we come face to face with both the good and the evil inside of us. In the desert, we decide who will be first in our lives. Will God be first, or we place ourselves first? Most of us can't go off and spend weeks alone, literally, in a desert. But these 40 days of Lent are meant to be like the desert. The church gives us this time to listen more closely to God and to grow in our relationship with Him. That means putting God in first, especially through daily prayer. And Jesus shows us how. In today's gospel, the devil tempts our Lord. He does this by proposing three ways to put something else before God. First is comfort seeking. You need to remember that Jesus has not eaten for 40 days. He's probably a little bit hungry, and that may be an understatement. The devil tempts our Lord Jesus to turn stones into bread, putting his comfort ahead of his Father's will. Yes, food is good. We need to remember it won't fill our hearts. The second is pride. The devil takes our Lord Jesus to the mountaintops and shows him the whole world. He tells him, I'll give you all this. I'll give you all this power and control if you but bow down and worship me. You know, success is good, and having talents is good, and developing our talents is good. But we need to remember it won't fill our hearts. The third is vanity. The devil suggests that the devil tempts our Lord Jesus to throw himself off the temple because the angels will save him. Imagine how much this would impress the onlookers. The esteems of others at times can be good, but it really won't fill our hearts. It's okay to receive a compliment. Just simply say thank you. Let us praise God, you know, for the talents and skills that he's given to each of us. What is Jesus' response to all of this? He tells the devil, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Jesus shows us how to put God as Father first. But we must remember that we too will face these similar temptations from the evil one. And one way of understanding these three roots of sin is by asking ourselves another question. Where am I looking for fulfillment? The gospel tells us that we should be looking for it in our friendship with Christ, in being faithful to God with our lives, because we're made to find lasting happiness with Him in heaven. Sadly, ever since original sin by our first parents, Adam and Eve, we have a tendency to look for it in three other places. We look at these other places, we kind of turn them into idols. These are the three temptations the devil throws at our Lord Jesus in the gospel, and we too will face them as well. Once again, first we can look for placing something else first in pleasure and comfort. No, command this stone to become bread, the devil will tempt us. This is the idol of sensuality. No, life's pleasures and comforts for the most part are good things, as long as they're not sins against the sixth commandment. You know, it's perfectly okay to have a nice beer at night, a good meal, you know, some fun and fellowships. You know, God created them. But remember, they don't last, and they don't satisfy the heart. We need also have self-mastery and self-control. Be careful not to fall into gluttony or other sins. As Jesus said, we don't live on bread alone, but we live by every word of our Lord God. We live by prayer. We live by having a good relationship with Him. And so second, we can look for fulfillment in power and be able to do whatever we want without limitation. This, you might say, is the idol of arrogance, diabolical pride. Thus the devil's second temptation. I shall give you all this power and glory. But this is a lie. Only God is self-sufficient, and the rest of us are dependent upon him. It's okay to have talents, and some people will have more talents than other people. And while you need to remember, you will not be good at everything. That is a serious pride there. And so to fight against it, I would definitely encourage you to continue to develop your skills and talents, but give thanks to God. Say, Lord, I thank you for my natural skills and talents. And after thanking him, say, Lord, how do you want me to use them in humility for the building up of your kingdom? And so you need to remember that whenever we reject the dependence upon God, we end up becoming slaves of selfishness, worship of the idol of power. And so I'd like to maybe share with you a fictional example of this. You know, when we want so much power and control, you know, we run the danger of trying to turn ourselves into God. And this fictional example comes from a very popular science fiction movie. And this is what happened to Darth Vader in the Star Wars movie. He wanted power and control over life and death itself because he was afraid of losing loved ones. Sadly, he ended up becoming a slave of evil and causing great harm. And that's just a fictional example. And so our Lord Jesus' answer is this: you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. In the end, we must be humble. We are all going to die. But the question is, will we die in friendship and state of grace? We should ask the Lord for that grace, to die in his friendship. So the third temptation is that we can look for our fulfillment in popularity or praise. My dear youth, especially high school youth, I think even 20-somethings, and even adults, older adults, this could be a grave temptation, especially with social media. You know, posting something on Instagram or other things, there's a temptation, you know, to want all these likes and hearts. You know, they kind of, you know, will kick off an endorphin hit. Oh, look, all these people liking this stuff. You know, so with time, sadly, we can look for fulfillment and popularity and praise. This is the idol of vanity. Thus, the third temptation, a miraculous swan dive off the temple roof, would impress everyone and win Jesus instant fame. Take, for example, you know, we need to remember that fame and people's opinions are fickle. Imagine if I had shown up, you know, as St. John Vianney on the very first day says, I'm going to climb up to our big tower and I'm going to jump off and I'm going to let you see the angels catch me. You know, if that happened, I think the church would be full, right? But it would be not about God, it would be about vanity, you know, and so we must be very careful. People's opinions are fickle and fashions change. And social media at times is quite cruel and very vindictive. Whereas we need to remember that God's friendship is firm and dependable. Risking that friendship for the sake of passing popularity is bad business, to say the least. Thus our Lord Jesus says, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. Sensuality, arrogance, and pride and vanity, seeking fulfillment and pleasure, power and popularity, these are three roots of sin, which Jesus unmasked in today's gospel. And getting to know our root sin is the most frequent manifestation of arming ourselves for spiritual battle. So during this season of Lent, I would encourage you in prayer, say, Lord, where am I most vulnerable to temptation? The better we know where we're weak, the better we'll be able to resist temptation with God's help and protection. We are all tempted. Every day we are tempted. We are invited by the devil to rebel against God in little things and in big things. We must remember that temptation is not a sin. Giving in to the temptation is the sin. In fact, every temptation is a chance to exercise our trust in God, to claim territory for Christ's kingdom, just as Christ did when he was tempted. In fact, if we say no to temptation, we actually grow in virtue, we gain merit, and we become more faithful disciples. We strengthen ourselves for the next temptation to say no again. Because Jesus was tempted, he himself has redeemed temptation. With his grace, his victory over sin can become our victory as well. That's why he came to earth in the first place. The message Christ has for today is a message of hope. We, with the help of God, can conquer sin. Let me say that again. We can conquer sin in our lives and in the world around us with his help and with his grace. We just need to be humble and stay united to Christ, especially in prayer and worthy reception of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And that's why the Lord gave us the blessed sacraments, very self, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the most holy Eucharist, to give us strength to say no to temptation, but also to give us the grace to say yes to right virtuous acts and charity. That's also what, you know, studying our faith is for. Reading the Bible, you know, reading good literature. I really tried to provide our parish with some good literature throughout the year. And once again, I have another little pamphlet I've given out on Ash Wednesday. It's an excerpt from St. Faustina's diary, where she had the experiences of heaven, hell, and purgatory. I would encourage you to read through it, you know, and ask the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, in love for you, I want to be with you in heaven. I want my family members to be with you in heaven. When you read about hell, say, Lord, I need your help. I need your grace to avoid those mortal sins that will lead me to eternal damnation. Trust in God. He is the only way to heaven. We need to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in addition to that, I would encourage, you know, reading the Bible, especially the gospel, or praying the rosary. When you pray the rosary, we meditate upon sacred scripture, actually from the Bible. The mysteries, all the mysteries of the rosary come from the Bible. And so you need to remember that Jesus countered the devil's attack by quoting rightly from sacred scripture, the inspired word of God. Today, let us renew our confidence in Christ and our determination to fight for the advance of his heavenly kingdom. We need to have great confidence. He's greater than our folly. He's greater than our sin and our weakness. With his help, no, he will definitely save us. So with his help, let us also cut back our root sin and make more room for his grace to grow in our lives. And we receive him worthily in Holy Communion. Let's promise him to do our part to stay united with him, especially in prayer, to trust him and seek our happiness in his friendship with him. Thus we follow Christ, our good shepherd, unto life everlasting. Amen.